Hello and welcome to Linoleum Knife. It's our very first episode, and it's going to be the one that we look back at later, totally embarrassed at how crappy
Hello
it
and
sounds.
welcome to Linoleum Knife.
My name's
He
Alon
said.
My name's Alonzo Duralde from MovieLine.com.
We should introduce each other because that would
Really?
make it better. Yes,
With,
because
okay, fine.
we
Across.
also need to explain the name
We'll get
and
to that. We'll get to
there's
that.
a lot of things.
Oh, God. You can tell we really prepped for this
I
beforehand.
did. I'm full of preparation.
Yeah, your ideas are already terrible. Across the table from me is Dave White, film critic for movies.com.
Howdy.
And are you going to introduce me now? Or?
Oh, is that all I get? I'm just with movies.com.
Well,
I have so many other accomplishments.
we can get to that later.
All right.
I just.
And the other guy that awkwardly said hello to you first is Alonzo Duralde, who is very important movie writer guy. He is the author of 101 Must-See Movies for Gay Men.
Okay, we're not
He's
going
the
to do my
author
whole
of,
bio
hang
right
on, I'm doing your whole bio right
now.
now. He is the author of Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas,
In
which is
stores
out
now.
in stores now, brand new. He's the DVD columnist for MovieLine.com. He is some kind of boss dude with the LA Film Critics Association. And what else do you do?
And
You
I'm an editor
you're
for
an editor,
Queersided.com.
but that has nothing to do with movies.
Well, okay,
We're
no.
talking about our movie things.
I occasionally do pieces for movies.com and MSNBC.com
That's
and
right.
HitFix.com
So many
and
things.
AfterAlton.com.
Yeah.
And Dave White, since we're doing this now.
But no. But that's why I was about to say, I mean, my many other.
Is the author of Exile in
That's
Guyville.
right. But that's really it as far as, I mean,
and.
Exile in Guyville isn't about movies, and I only really movie writing gig. Oh, no, MSNBC. Yeah, that's
MSNBC,
right. I do that
you know,
too.
You know. And is a contributor to the Los Angeles literary magazine, Slake.
That's right.
So, all right. So now that everyone is bored to death.
They're not bored to death. They're impressed with us now. And
we've established our credentials for why we're wasting
Tell them
your
why
time
this is
with
called
this.
Linoleum Knife.
This is called Linoleum Knife because, well, because No You Shut Up was taken, for one thing.
Yeah, we were going to call it No You Shut Up, but then it
somebody
was
else
somebody
used
else
that title.
Has that title.
And so if you saw Aqua Teen Hunger Force : movie film for theaters and remember the little intro, Let's All Go to the Lobby cartoon, the angry punk rock movie snacks threatened people in the movie theater that if you talk, they will cut off your lips with a linoleum knife.
A linoleum knife.
So this is Linoleum Knife, the podcast.
If you talk back to us, we will cut off your lips with a linoleum knife.
Although actually we do welcome listener
but
feedback.
Not, but
I'll... but
not, we will not cut off the lips of the friend who is sitting here at the table with us. Will.
Who is making a horrified face.
Who will be, he's going to be mostly quiet.
Yes.
Unless he has some questions.
But anyway, so this is a weekly, ideally, show where we talk about movies. And so this week.
Not super long, though.
No,
we're not going to make you sit around forever listening
no,
to
no,
us.
No, not one of those. So this week we have two new movies that we're talking about. Danny Boyle's 127 Hours.
Which is fantastic.
And Tyler Perry's For Colored Girls.
Which is this other movie.
Yes. So let's start with 127 Hours. You want to give them a wrap up about what it's about?
James Franco is this real chill bro who
he's a real person.
He's also a real person named Aaron Ralston, and he's this guy who's he's one of those guys that you meet who goes to fish concerts and likes to hike in the desert, man, and get into canyons and things and you know climb around. If he's one of those guys that knows all the different kinds of rope. and the kinds of metal thingies that you put into rocks to hold the ropes so that you can climb up them and then down them and into like lagoons that are down underneath the caves where you can like frolic about
okay,
with other nubile hiking
maybe
chicks.
Get to the plot of this
I'm
film.
I'm setting it up for
oh,
them.
Okay.
He falls down into this crack in the earth of the desert in Utah. And then he gets his arm crushed and stuck under a rock. And then the whole rest of the movie, he stands in one place with his arm stuck in a rock.
I got a rock.
But then, okay, we can tell everything
yeah,
that happens
okay,
in this
yeah.
movie because I've already been.
It's a true story.
Already, it's
but.
A true story. The guy already wrote a book about it. He went all over the place promoting the book, and he's out promoting this movie too. And if you look at the dude, you will notice something very unique about him, and that is that he only has one single arm. And the reason he only has one single arm is because of what happens in this movie.
To get out of the canyon, he has to cut it off. Which I thought everybody knew, but apparently after Dave wrote his review for Movies.com,
people were not happy with me.
Spoiler, man.
Yeah, but it's not a spoiler. You can't spoil reality.
Yeah, it's like news, you know. Sorry.
You cannot spoil reality. That would be like, oh, I just watched this movie about Abraham Lincoln. Don't tell me what happened.
My favorite story about Aaron Ralston in real life was, you know, every year on America's Next Top Model, they always make the girls do the big crazy makeovers. And one year there was this girl with like really long hair, like down to her ass. And they made her cut it super, like, you know, Mia Farrow short. And she cried and cried and cried and cried, just carried on, made a big deal about it. So then after she got dumped from the show, the next week she does the talk show circuit and she goes on Ellen and they show the clip where they cut her hair and she's like, cry, 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 cry. The guest they bring on after her
was him,
Aaron Ralston.
Nice.
It's like,
nice.
Yeah, it kind of puts that hair thing into perspective. I had to cut my arm off to get out of a crevasse, you know.
A crevasse?
Is that what you call it?
Crevice.
It's a deep crevice.
A crevice? Crevasse is a word, I think.
Crevasse?
Yeah.
That's how you say it?
Well, there's crevice, but there's also.
Is it not the same thing?
I don't think so.
Is a crevice and a crevasse? Will, what is this difference between a crevice?
I think a crevasse is deeper, right?
A crevasse is deeper and wider. It's like a trench.
This was not, well, was this place kind of wide? This was sort of a wide-ish place.
It's a crevassy kind of crevasse.
He was in a crevassy crevasse.
So this movie, so you liked it a lot.
It's fantastic, as I said at the beginning of the movie and at the beginning of this, what we're doing. Because if you think, you know, you're going to have a movie where the camera's just fixed on a guy stuck in one spot, that is not what you were going to have. You were going to have a Danny Boyle movie, and Danny Boyle loves to visually sort of extrapolate. Mm-hmm. And he does so in a way that I have always found pretty ecstatic to, you know.
Sure.
I really love his filmmaking style. It is maybe kind of showy and pop for a lot of people, and maybe they don't dig that, and so those people should not go see Danny Boyle films. But I'm a big fan, and I also found this incredibly moving, especially the end, which, well, this is the part I'm not going to spoil. It's very moving. It's not just this movie like, oh, God, we're waiting for this guy to cut off his knife. We're waiting for this guy to cut off his arm. It's not that. It's about something more, and it's about how he, you know, realizes all the things that he has to go back to, all the things that he needs to live for. And so I got a little choked up at the end because it's that moving.
I have to say, I mean, I like the film a lot. I think it's, you know, yeah, Boyle is a, you know, great visual stylist. Franco's performance is terrific. It's a much more exuberant movie than you would think about just that. It's just about a guy who cuts his arm off. But for me, it just felt so kind of specifically about that event, you know? I mean, like, yes, they give you the larger perspective of his life and the meaning of, you know, what this is a metaphor.
Even the tone you're using right now is dismissive.
I'm not.
His life and the This is why you're wrong.
To me, it just felt so focused that I kind of just sort of felt like I was watching this really elaborate and interestingly made kind of reenaction, you know, like on a crime show, like with a budget and a really good cast and a great crew. But ultimately that was it.
I didn't know I was pregnant.
For instance. Yes. But like, I felt like
Were you not paying attention?
Yes, I was paying attention. I had to when it was over, I kind of felt like, well, that was good and it was well done for what it is, but I was a little underwhelmed.
It was transporting.
All right, well, then we disagree.
But I'm right.
Yeah. So you tell yourself that. Our other film this week.
Are we done already talking about 127 Hours?
Do you have more to say?
Are there new ways that I can tell you you're wrong?
Besides that, because that's going to get boring fast.
You just didn't like it enough. You liked it some, but you didn't
enough. No. I mean, exactly. I didn't adore it, but I think there's a lot to like about it.
You need to adore it.
Well, I'm sorry. I do not.
You're going to adore it, Will. Will's going to adore it.
Leave him out of this.
Once Will sees it, it's going to be us against you.
Fine. Look, Matt Singer has my back. The IFC podcast this week is all about.
Well, guess what? The works, I've never met Matt Singer.
Well, he's a good guy. You should know him. He's very nice. Anyway, they did a podcast this week about the films of Danny Boyle. Although Matt did not see Millions, which he really should.
Because did they talk about Sunshine? Sunshine is so awesome.
They did talk about Sunshine. I was kind of tuning it out because I still haven't seen it and I didn't want spoilers.
You've seen Sunshine.
He's talking to Will. I want to see it on the big screen. Like, that's one you told me, like, not to watch it on
video. You should see it on a big screen. Yeah, so I'm because not... it's like going to a rave in outer space.
Exactly. So I'm waiting for that opportunity. So at some point in LA, I will have the chance to see Sunshine on a big screen and I'll watch it. I didn't see that and I didn't see The Beach, but I think I didn't see A Life Less Ordinary, but I've seen all the other ones.
I didn't see The Beach because there was
poop on a
beach.
Did you see Life Less Ordinary?
What was that?
That's the one with Cameron Diaz and
That was dumb. But I mean, you know what? Funny. It was fun anyway. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's the people. It's a comedy. People are yelling at each other.
But you know, I liked Shallow Grave a lot, and you know, Trainspotting obviously, and Millions is in my Christmas
Millions
movie
is
book,
in Alonso Duralde's new book, 101. No, wait, sorry. Have yourself a movie little Christmas.
Yes.
Millions is in Alonso Duralde's new book. Have yourself a movie little Christmas. You can go to Amazon and buy that right now.
You can like my book at Facebook.
That means I'll get a pony for Christmas.
But yeah, I don't know. I liked 127 Hours. I think it does what it does well. I just kind of left wanting more from it, I guess.
More arm cutting off bits?
No. There was just enough of
that. Part was fantastic.
There was just enough of that.
That part was really great. When he cuts off his arm.
And certainly no more pee drinking. I think I got it.
The pee drinking was hilarious.
I got that too, you know.
He drinks his own pee in this movie.
They
show it in a way that's really hilarious. And rad way that you could ever watch someone drink their own pee.
If you own a Camelback, you know, you will you'll never look at it the same way again. I'll just leave it at that. but the James Franco, he is everywhere at once.
He's on soap operas too. He's
on soap operas. He's got an installation at Sundance this year that's about Three's Company, apparently.
But what I mean, a human installation?
Like a video installation. It's going to be set up like on
a video installation. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he's, you know.
Well, you're going to Sundance, so yeah. I expect you to
report back on that. I will check it out.
I am not going to Sundance.
I will check it out. So yeah, anything else about 127 Hours?
Just that it's great.
Okay.
And everyone should go see it, and especially if you're squeamish, because there's really only about a minute of arm cutoffery.
Yeah, I only hid my eyes with the press notes like once.
It would have even been a faster arm cutting off scene had he had a proper knife with him.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. It's like it's all improvised with, you know,
other things.
Items that were in his backpack. Okay. So we're also talking this week about Tyler Perry's For Colored Girls.
Which sucks.
Yeah. Basically, spoiler. It's based on the 1974 choreo poem by playwright Entezaki Shange.
What is a choreo poem?
I have no idea. It's what she called it, and it's. I mean, the work is. It's a poetic piece. It's seven women in the play. It's nine in the movie.
Correct.
And they each have these sort of poetic.
I actually know what a choreo poem is.
Well, tell us then.
It's a poem that you dance to. Oh God. That's what that play was. For colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough, E-N-U-F.
Okay, well, I thought you were going to have something deeper than that. I think we could guess that's what a choreo poem is.
Most people would just go, they would just bleep over that like a Dostoevsky name. They would go, what's a blah, blah, blah.
It is a poem with choreography.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Bones, for elucidating on that for us.
That's right.
So the original play.
Did you just make a reference to White Christmas and the minstrel number in White Christmas?
No. Actually, it's an old radio expression that they use in Citizen Kane.
I'm trying to trap you into a racism mire.
The commentary on movies.com, you're the racist because you don't like Tyler Perry.
I'm sure I would like him personally if I met him and he took me out for cake or a beer or something.
This happened. No.
Or if perhaps I was one of his writers and he paid me a union wage,
which happening.
Doesn't happen.
But no, that when I was at MSNBC.com and I had to review a couple of Tyler Perry movies, it's like the second that you, as a white film critic, write a negative review of a Tyler Perry movie, because Tyler Perry movies, for the most part, are terrible.
Or any movie that is African American themed.
No,
or,
but specifically for Tyler Perry.
But specifically for Tyler Perry.
I didn't, you know, when, yeah, when I didn't like First Sunday, I did not get the kind of comments I got. Well, you know, when I didn't like
First Sunday actually holds the distinction of being worse than most Tyler Perry movies.
Indeed. Less you think, or you know, Woman Thou Art Loose.
Like there are, yeah, like there are movies by and for African Americans that, well, I shouldn't even say they're by or for African Americans, like by African American directors, writers.
About African American subject matter.
There are movies out there that are, and believe me, I see everything. And so there are worse things out there than a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
But when there is a new Tyler Perry movie, that's the worst thing in theaters right at that moment.
Unquestionably. So, yeah, and currently the worst thing in theaters is For Colored Girls, which takes this really beautiful play and chops it up and you know, like, puts the monologues, either cuts them in half or puts them into the mouths of characters who are supposed to be now having them as a dialogue. So they're basically pontificating poetically to the person stuck across from them at a dinner table or standing next to them in a room. So it doesn't flow at all. It doesn't – the context feels bizarre.
Now, the good smart thing he does is he goes all close up on the woman speaking.
Right.
So that the people who are sitting around them are not all just sort of staring at each other. Like, what is she?
When is she going to stop talking?
Is she having a dream out loud right now? Like you don't get their reactions. You don't get to see them going, "What is she talking about?" Because it's like there's story, and then let me tell you about my lilies and moonstones. You know, like it gets incredibly poetic, and it's lovely, but it stops making any kind of narrative sense. And so I think if you had all those poems together in a row, like they are in the original stage production, then it would make an emotional sense. And maybe people think that this movie version will make emotional sense if they are, you know, particularly under-distanced from it or whatever. But, you know, anyone else is going to be locked out. And
I think the people who really love the play are also going to be like, what the hell?
Locked out.
Yeah. In fact, I would say if you live in Los Angeles or New York, go to the Paley Center for Media. And in their library, you will find the early 80s American Playhouse version of the play with Alfre Woodard, and I forget who else is in it. But it's a beautiful piece. It's very true to the original. And unlike Tyler Perry, they did not feel the need to throw in a woman married to a down-low gay who gives her AIDS.
He gives her a cough.
Yeah. I know. I forgot about the cough. You think this was like Betty Davis in a 1940s movie.
Yeah.
You know that Janet Jackson is sick because she coughs throughout the film. It's like, you've got to be kidding me, Tyler Perry.
Here's the thing about the gay stuff and Tyler Perry. He's evolving. I think he's evolving. And here's why here's my thesis.
Man who wear dress protests too much.
I think that, you know, he starts off and he's Madea, which is great because Madea's great and she's always waving a gun around and hitting people and stuff, which is hilarious. But then he has in Why Did I Get Married 2, which may be one of the greatest cinematic accomplishments of 2010. Why Did I Get Married 2 is a raucous good time if you're in the right mood. And especially the very end. I'm just going to spoil it because I think this spoiler will convince you to watch it. There is finally a gay in Why Did I Get Married 2. There's a gay character. And that gay character has no official character name. He is a guy who pops out of a cake at the end of the movie. And, well, I'll set it up a little bit, just briefly.
Yes, please.
Janet Jackson is in Why Did I Get Married 2. She's a super successful writer. She's getting divorced. She springs a surprise divorce on her husband. She doesn't love him anymore. And he's like, well, I helped you build your career, so I should get part of your, you know, income. And she's like, oh, no, you're not getting any of that. And the movie has this whole idea, like, any man who wants, like, money from his super rich, successful wife after she's sprung a surprise divorce on him is somehow half a man. And so
Tyler Perry should know.
And so, well, that, I didn't say that. That's not me. I didn't say that part. That was Alonzo. Dorelli sang that part.
I'm just saying that's the, you know, when I accuse on masculinity, I turn to the man who built a closet for his wife to be and then decided to fill it with shoes.
Fill it with shoes. So anyway, so Janet Jackson wheels a big cake into her ex-husband's workplace, and she puts on a boombox and the song "It's Raining Men" starts.
Was it at least the original version?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And then this dude jumps out of a cake wearing like a little hot pants and stuff and like a little bikini halter top and a wig. Mm-hmm. And he's just dancing around, riding around. It's Raining Men. And Janet Jackson says to her ex-husband, "You want to be a bitch? Well, here's your man." And so the ex-husband runs out of the building. This is his workplace, mind you. He runs out of the building and he gets in a car and he drives off into oncoming traffic and dies. He has a crash and he dies. So the gay guy in Why Did I Get Married 2 causes a death. And so there's your first example of gay, official gay.
And now we have a gay who makes Janet Jackson cough.
Now we have a gay who makes Janet Jackson cough. But this gay has lines, and he's on the DL, and he gives her AIDS. And she says at the end of the movie, she goes, "Get out of my house and take your lies
and your HIV with you. Thanks, Tyler Perry, because that's what for colored girls
so
who consider suicide really
anonymous
needed.
Gay to despicable gay.
To despicable DL gay.
So next movie, there's going to be a for real gay maybe in this movie who is not a horrible person that gives AIDS and causes car accidents.
What makes you say that?
Because he's evolving.
I don't think so.
The evolution is happening of Tyler Perry.
I don't think so.
I'm pro Tyler Perry's evolution on this subject matter.
I will believe Tyler Perry's evolution when I see it.
So anyway, there are other good things in For Colored Girls, even though the movie is terrible.
And generally, anything that works in this movie is because of the source material.
And the women, the actresses.
And anything that doesn't work is Tyler
Perry. Enough people don't know about Kimberly Elise and how terrific. Great she is. Yes. She's good in like everything that she's in. Who else is great? Felicia Rashad is really nice.
Yeah,
but
again, she gets probably my favorite poem from that play, and it lops off like after a third of the way in.
Right, and then Kerry Washington is really good.
Adore
Anika
her.
Noni Rose is really good in this movie.
Yes,
and I like Loretta Devine in this movie.
You know,
she gets all the "and I'm telling you."
Yeah,
I love her.
I love her. Generally speaking, for me, this was the first movie I ever saw, and I thought, "Wow, this is not a good performance."
Just because she yells a lot,
it's very yelly. It's
she's
you know,
got a lot to yell about. She's upset,
but that's all she's got. And it just gets
her guy is unreliable and is doing her wrong.
No, all the men in this movie, it should go without
all the men
saying,
in this movie are really, really
are
rotten,
despicable.
Well, no, except for what?
Except for Kerry Washington's husband.
Kerry Washington's husband, who's a cop, and he's nice.
Yes, but that's like Dulé Hill, is that accurate?
I thought that was Hill Harper. Doesn't Hill Harper play her husband?
One of the Hills. I don't remember.
How many Hills are there?
They're alive with the Sound of Music.
Besides our friend Brian Hill in San Diego.
I don't know. But anyway, you can look it up online. Who plays?
That's the only Hill I can think
of. Kerry Washington's husband is the one guy in the movie. And you know, again, this isn't a spoiler because this is from a play that's like almost 40 years old. There is a whole moment that has to do with a deranged man hanging a woman's children out of the window. You can't do that scene with a Jackson in it. I'm sorry. You know, the moment that you have that scene and Janet Jackson is there, it gives it a whole other cultural context that is not intended by the playwright or the director, I'm sure. I thought that was a big mistake. And
yeah,
I'm going to stand by that.
I agree with you on that. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, but for Colored Girls, you know, go see the play, read the play. Do not go see the movie. It's not even like I thought it might be like the
wacky, bad, and fun to watch.
Yeah. Like
that's Why Did I Get Married 2?
Right. You know,
Why Did I Get Married 2 is like it's like The Room and Fatal Attraction and like every. Like horrible exploitation film you've ever seen, and then people are hitting each other and they're waving guns and knives around, and this is about relationships. And so
Tyler
Why
Perry
Did I Get Married 2? I really urge everyone to see Why Did I Get Married 2? Because it's amazing.
But not in the good way.
No, in the totally good way. The way that's good if you're gonna have a good time. You wanna be entertained? Watch Why Did I Get Married 2.
Fair enough.
Because you will bust a gut over Why Did I Get Married 2. This one, there's, this is just not, it's dour.
Yeah.
That's a good, basically. That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Dour and victimy. So is this our show? Are we good for this week?
How many minutes was that?
We're coming up on half an hour.
Are we really?
Yeah.
Wow. That
zips by, doesn't it?
That was super quick.
Yeah.
We're so amazingly entertaining.
We are. And we're going to get better at this because this is our first one. So if you have comments, feedback, you can write us at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
We have an email?
We have an email.
What's our email? Say it again.
Linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
Linoleum. Linoleum.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how you spell it.
Linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. Check out our friends' podcast, The Comedy Couch, with Dennis Hensley and Tony
Tripoli. That's a good one. They're funny, and they lay their lives bare.
Indeed.
Which is not what we're going to do, in spite of the fact that we did.
We admire their honesty, but you're not going to hear it from us.
Family's housekeeping.
And then also The Popcorn Mafia for our good friend Gray Drake.
Gray Drake, who sold us all of her podcasting equipment.
Yes, and made this show possible. And, of course, Blowhard with Malcolm Ingram and sometimes Kevin Smith and sometimes not.
And he's a big gay clown.
Yes. So you can read Dave White's reviews every week at movies.com.
But don't write comments because I won't read them.
And you can pick up Slake in lots of places in Los Angeles. You can also get it off of Amazon.com.
Amazon.
And read his terrific story. And my book, Have Yourself a Movie Little Christmas, is in stores now. I will be doing a book tour from coast to coast in December. So more on that as it comes up. So thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Later.